Militant Grind, the most honorables. Visit militantgrind.com. Elevate your journey towards mental health and wellness by joining the Militant Grind Academy today. Discover a community where growth, support, and transformation await you. Visit www.militantgrindacademy.com.
This William King Hollis is rocking with Militant Grind.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast, where today's episode features the remarkable journey of Taniela Fiefia. Starting with just $300, Taniela built a million-dollar concrete company within a year and rapidly gained over 280,000 followers across social media platforms within just 2 years. His success story does not stop there. Taniela is now dedicated to coaching contractors on how to scale their construction companies to seven figures and develop a powerful personal brand. Join us as we delve into Taniela's strategies, insights, and the relentless drive that propelled him from modest beginnings to a leading figure in the construction industry. Taniela, how are you today, sir?
Doing good. That's quite the intro. I love it.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah, so this is interesting, bro, because you seem like a relatively young guy. Usually contractors that are in the seven figures are a little older, 40s, 50s, or whatever. So how old are you?
I'm 28.
28. And so did you grow up in the construction industry at all?
Not construction exactly. It was mowing lawns. Like, my dad mowed lawns for 20 plus years. And so I always liked being outside in that kind of field. But yeah, never, it wasn't concrete. Yeah. So I didn't really grow up in that field.
Oh, okay. But you did grow up outside doing like some type of hands-on work and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to do multiple jobs. I bounced around to like warehouses, call centers, everything underneath the sun like that. And oh, I hated that. That was like a living hell. That's what it was. It was a nightmare.
Oh, calling people trying to beg them to do something and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just felt like a prison. I didn't want to do that. And I thought I should just try and figure something out. So I would just try to start multiple businesses and eventually landed here. A lot by luck, but
yeah, because yeah. So how did you actually get into concrete? Like, how did that come about?
So when I was working for my dad, helping him mow lawns and stuff like that, it was a small company. It wasn't very big. It was me, my dad, and maybe one or two other guys. But there's a project he had where he had guys come finish concrete for him. So they did whatever, they were replacing the driveway and stuff. And I saw how much he paid them. He was paying them triple the amount I was getting paid. And that pissed me off. Like, what the hell am I doing here mowing lawns? Like, I need to learn how to do concrete. And that's when I quit working for my dad. I went to go work for a guy learning how to do concrete. And that's how I got into it. I picked it up pretty quickly. After 1 year, then I started. I knew enough to know what's right and wrong, but not enough to do a full end job. I didn't have tons of years of experience. But after that first year, I started the company, which was more like a side hustle. It wasn't like a real company. Like, we were just doing a job on the weekend every now and then. And that was the start of it, because I knew I didn't want to work for someone. And then, yeah, after my second year working in the field, that's when I started the business. Oh, it was insane. Yeah, because I always knew I wanted to start my own businesses. I hated working for someone. The concrete business is actually my eighth business, and the coaching business is my ninth. So I've had a lot of businesses since then. They all failed, but
hey, man, that's how it is. You just have to see which one sticks and see which one works for you. Anybody that has a working business now started plenty of businesses that has failed. So that's one good, trust me. My resume is pretty long when it comes to starting businesses. But some of them are short-lived. Some of them you keep for a while. Some of them fail. Some of them you can't do anything more with it. Hey, it is what it is. So when you did start the business, I know. Where are you located?
In Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh, in Utah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
You been out here?
Well, no, I actually have. One of my friends is a general contractor, and he's from California, but he moved to Utah, and he has a license in both states. And he tells me all the time, Utah is going right now. That's the place to be when it comes to construction.
Oh, yeah. It's booming. There's so much construction everywhere. And it's so easy, especially for like my age, 28. There's not a lot of people our age going into the blue collar field. And there's like most guys are in their 40s and 50s running their own businesses in construction. And so as they're getting older, they're going to retire. And now there's less competition, so we can raise our rates, et cetera. So I think it's a great field to get into if anyone wants to.
And so are you like a general contractor out there in the state of Utah?
Not a general contractor. I just do concrete. I try to do multiple other things, and I realized I was shitty at trying to manage so many things. So the riches are in the niches. So I just try to focus on just concrete and get really good at that.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's how I got here.
And so is it like a full-time bit? Because you said first it started off as a side hustle. So how is it now?
Yeah, so it's a full-time gig now because I actually, it's crazy. I was looking at my memories, and 3 years ago, this week was when I quit my last job. And that's when I didn't want to work for anyone anymore, because my last boss I worked for, he didn't pay me, or he paid me, but my paycheck bounced. And so I was down a couple grand, and that pissed me off for sure. So that's what catapulted me to start the business. And ever since then, I just didn't look back. But that's how it got me to fully go in, fully commit, that there is no other option, which is great. I feel I should have had that before. It's like people need that burn the boats kind of sink or swim situation. Otherwise, they'll never make a move, which is why I never made a full-on move. I was dipping half in, half out. So, of course, I wasn't getting results, which is why a lot of people don't get results, in my opinion. You can't chase two rabbits, you'll catch none.
That is true. And then also, when you're comfortable, you don't really have that hunger. If you're depending on a job and you're trying to start a business, it's but when it's like, hey, if I don't do this, I'm not going to eat, that brings a different form of person out of you. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I've always loved putting myself back against the wall, because then if I am comfortable, I'll just risk everything. And then shit, I might lose. I might fail. I might go bankrupt. Now I got to hustle again. Because exactly what you said, everyone gets comfortable. And that's why people will stay at a job for 30 years, 20 years, is because they're making not the money they want, but just enough to not work harder. So if people don't put themselves in that position, like to go all out, then they'll never take that jump.
Yeah, I definitely see that. That's why I like doing things where I can see the fruition of my work if I do work hard, because some places you could work very hard and it's like nothing is going to come out from it but an hourly pay. And so for me, I'm like, I like to go in, knock things out, all right, then I'm out. And I want to get paid for what I'm worth. And that's why I shied away from jobs a little bit, depending on how much they're paying. But it's just, man, like, they could get a lot out of you for giving you a little bit. And then what you do impacts the job so much. And I'm just like, man, I need to get a percentage for all this work that I'm doing. Golly.
Yeah. And then once you start your own business, things, you're like, oh, damn, there's taxes, insurance, there's so many liabilities. It's like, oh, I see why you got to make money, because you lose money fast.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's like a money pit for sure. And I often tell people that too. It's, man, all of the stuff you have to pay for just to stay in business, you have to be very serious. And people get upset, oh, you're charging this or you're charging that. If I am not charging this, I will not be able to help you at all. Like, it makes no sense for me to do that. Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense for me to continue doing this. And I feel like that probably happens more so in your field too, because you guys charge quite a bit, but then we have to pay workers, we have to get insurance, we have to pull permits, we have to do all of these different things in order to stay in business.
Yeah, and that's where I actually, because that's where I actually went downhill, is although we did $1 million my first year, and then we did $2 million my second year, that was only sales revenue. That wasn't profit, because we actually went negative 500 grand. I was 500 grand in debt my second year. We almost went bankrupt. It was insane. There was so much I was doing wrong about business, because I didn't really know how to hire, how to track things, how to run a business. And so that's what was eating me alive. And we almost went bankrupt, faced lawsuits. But I loved that pressure. I loved being in that kind of stress, that kind of debt, because I always had the mindset. It's like 99% of people would have folded in this situation. They would have quit, went back, got a job. And I've always had this strong mindset that the goals I want to achieve in 20 years, it takes most people 20 years. I want to achieve it in 2 years. So I have to also accept all the failures they go through in 20 years and condense it into 2 years. So I can't pass stones at the debt I was in or the situation I was in, because it was all me. I could blame partners, employees, whatever, but that's not, you can't be successful when you're blaming other people for any kind of situation, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. And so what are some lessons that you would give someone that's just like starting out or wants to start off into the construction industry?
It's definitely not what you do, it's what you don't do. So when I was growing the business, I was constantly drinking. I neglected my health. I wasn't working out. I was going all in on just the business, but I was letting all the other areas of my life fall. So like family, health, et cetera, mental, like all these vices. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's a great way to go about business, because what's the point of making money if you're fat, if you're an alcoholic? Because that's what I was, an alcoholic. And so I realized that was what was hindering me. I need to cut out all these negative habits if I want to be successful and just be all across the board. So that was the big, I'd say it's not what you do, it's what you don't do. Don't hang around people who don't have the same ambitions, the same goals. Don't settle. Like, constantly, like, just put your back up against the wall to grow.
And how was that for you, say, setting those boundaries and not dealing with the people that you used to deal with? Because I know for myself, that's a very lonely journey, especially when you're in your 20s and you want to party and have fun. I'm not sure if you're married with kids, but are you?
No.
Yeah, so you can still go out there and have a good time. So how do you keep that discipline?
And it's all part of the process. Like, you have to, I don't talk to my, or at a time, like, I fired my dad, I fired multiple cousins, et cetera, who all taught me how to run a business and do concrete, et cetera. But it came to a point where they helped me get to level one, but to get to level two, I had to shed them. So it's the same reason as when a rocket tries to enter outer space, it has to shed off the boosters to go to that next level. So I always just thought of it in that same way. Who's holding me down from going to that next level? And it was, I wanted it, because, which is as shitty as it sounds, I didn't want to be close to my family that way, because I didn't want the life they lived. So if I was around them a lot, then I'm going to end up like them, which is what I didn't want. Oh, it terrifies me. Living an average life, that terrifies me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're, like you said, it is a lonely journey, but I guess to be part of the 1%, 99% of the people have to disagree with you, have to neglect you, etc.
Man, that's a super hard thing to do, bro, because I know that I'm sure it's relatively the same cultural. I know your culture is all about family, and family is number one. You don't do nothing without your family. Like, you guys are even in contact with your second, third cousins. It's like very, and I noticed that I told you earlier, my sister's Samoan, and I noticed that, like, you guys, like the Polynesian culture, it's like they take family very serious, very serious. Like, it's so crazy that even though, you know, I'm not Samoan, but her family that is Samoan, they will say that we're cousins just because that's my sister. So they don't look at me any different. They're like, no, that's my cousin, because that's my cousin's little brother. And it's just like that. And so me hearing that, like, I can only imagine, well, me knowing that, I can only imagine how hard that probably was for you.
The thing is, it's flipped. So this is a way better route for the family, because what the family is doing is everyone's settling, so no one ever grows. It's a lot better if I distance myself, build a massive success, and then everyone else can come up. Then it's, hey, yeah, I want you, but you have to separate yourself. If everyone's crabs in the bucket holding each other down, then we can't grow. So someone has to step aside and level up, and then everyone else can come. So it's actually for the family. So I think it's a lot deeper. I think it's a lot better for the family what I'm doing versus what everyone else is.
That is a bar. If I heard what? Because it's okay. I'm letting y'all go because this isn't working. But then when I do make it to where I need to go, I'm going to still look out for y'all.
Yeah, exactly. And you see it all the time with like pro athletes, like they're on their grind for that year that they're trying to make it big, because they only have the short window when they have to make it, make all the money when they're in their prime time. Then they make the money and then it's, hey, cool. Like, we're balling now. I got all y'all. But of course, don't blow the money, but you have to get in that grind set mode to bring everyone else up. And so I just think of it from that same perspective in business.
Did you share that perspective with your family?
Not really, because maybe I have a couple times, but I don't think I've done it enough and I don't want to, because then I'm just explaining myself over and over and there's no point trying to. I'd rather just do it and then show them instead of try to explain the vision. I'd rather just build the vision.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And so are you guys still getting along, hanging out, going to family events, things like that?
Some yes, some no. It's like awkward. Like it's, yeah, because it's because a lot of them were like my older cousins that actually taught me how to do concrete and stuff. And so, of course, they'll feel some type of way that, hey, I got to let you go. And then I can see, totally understand from their perspective is like, damn, I helped you and now you're leaving me. But it's just all short, temporary. And then, yeah. So some people understand, some people don't, but it is what it is.
And so what did you have a coach or an advisor that you worked with that evaluated your business and was like, hey, you should probably do this, that, and the third and switch things up?
Yeah, that's when the business actually took off, is when I finally went with a mentor. So the first 7 businesses, I didn't really have a mentor. And that's why they all failed, because I was trying to figure everything out by myself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way, because you can waste years and tons of money just guessing. So when I finally paid for a mentor, it was just like a light switch, because he could immediately tell what I'm doing wrong and fix it, because he can see what I can't see. And immediately the business jumped. So the concrete business, yeah, we were doing 10, 20K months. And then it was after we joined with him, we immediately jumped up to 90K, 100K, or 90K, 100K months, literally within that first month. And I always have that screenshot saved because it was surreal. It was May 3 years ago.
So what was the big difference? Was it like marketing and advertising and things like that?
Marketing, advertising, and then mostly more than anything is really like the entire mindset and confidence of going with it. Because the biggest thing is most people have a lack of confidence in themselves, which is why I didn't invest in any mentors or equipment or anything. Because I had this scarcity mindset that if I spent money, what if I lose it? And then that's a scarcity mindset, because then you think you can't make it back. So that's why I'll throw everything now. I'll spend all the money on whatever. If there's a chance it can make me more money. And if it doesn't, now my back's up against the wall. I have to have the confidence to figure something out. So yeah, I'll always spend money. And I always think of the money that way is, if I'm scared to spend it, that means I don't think I can make it back. I don't trust myself enough to do it. So I'll always spend it to, even if it makes me uncomfortable, because now it just instills confidence. Because then when I do pull it off, it's like, oh, that's the new standard.
Right.
Like, oh, I can make whatever, 10K a week, or whatever it is.
And where do you think the scarcity mindset comes from?
Just the people we're brought up around. Because it's the stupidest thing. I always hated growing up where my family, hey, turn off the lights, don't leave the heater on, save the leftovers. It was the stupidest shit like that. I was like, why are we so poor? Like, you can't just, whatever, you want it, get it. That's how I always wanted to live. And I grew up eating top ramen, cereal. That was normal, everyday food. When I always wanted, I want a bomb-ass 5-star Ruth's Chris steaks.
Yeah.
Things like that. And it was never even in a realm. And I hated how my dad would always talk about it. Oh, they're so good. But he would never take us to eat it because it was too expensive. And I was like, it just pissed me off that we were living in this way of scarcity, of people trying to penny pinch for $100, $200, when there's people literally dropping 10, 20 grand a day on shopping or whatever it is.
Man.
So it's like money is all just made up, like I just have to figure out a way to make it.
Yeah, I can definitely understand where you're coming from, man. Because, like, my dad still penny pinches and he has a lot of money. Sometimes I just get frustrated. Oh, my God. Like, say, if I have people coming over to my house to visit, I just want to be able to pay for whatever food that we want and get it delivered without a problem.
What
Over
do you
here,
want?
yeah, what do you guys want? You guys want this? All right, cool. I'm going to just buy it. Boom. And it was crazy because, like, I had an interview, an in-person interview for my podcast, and a guy was talking about a celebrity who took him to dinner, and he was just like, man, they were just buying everything, lobster, tomahawk steaks. The bill was like a couple $1,000. And I was like, ooh, wee. He goes, they invited me, so I didn't pay for it. But it was just crazy just looking at how these people live. And I'm just sitting there, damn, man, like some people are worried about spending $50, $60 to feed their family. These people out here just buying whatever. And I was just like, what's the difference between me and them? Like, what makes them so special that they're able to do those type of things? And it's really nothing. Because, like, when you talk to them, you figure out that they're just normal human beings. Like, they eat, sleep, shit, just like all of us. But they just, their mindset is different when it comes to acquiring wealth, acquiring knowledge, and just a totally different mindset. It's if I want it, something will happen for me to actually get it. And I'm not gonna believe in my mind that I'm not able to get it at all. And so
Exactly.
I feel like I've always been like that. But my problem was is that I just wasn't willing to cut the people off who didn't think like that. So to say for me, I'm weird to those people who don't think like that. But then when I go around high-level thinking people, we get along like best friends. Like the way they think their ideas, they just like, wow, that's a good idea. And it's crazy, man. A couple of weeks ago, I did something. I was working with another brand, right? And I met this guy. I was talking to him. I'm like, yeah, I got a docuseries coming out. And he said that he used to do film. And he also won an Academy Award for one of his documentaries. I was like shocked. I was like, so I'm sitting here dealing with a guy who won an Academy Award. So we ended up becoming great friends. And he gave me an idea. He was like, Sherman, this is what you should do. You should replicate that idea for each and every city that should. I'm like, man, I've been thought of that. Like, I've already had that idea in my mind for something that I mentioned, and I didn't tell him, I just let him talk. But I was just like, man, like, I literally already had that set up. But it's crazy that you came up with that idea. But if you're talking to a small mind, somebody's going to figure out a way to sabotage it. You know what I'm saying? To say, oh, that's not going to work. Oh, that's too much. This is and the third. But when you deal with people that are like thinking high level, you tend to see that nothing is impossible. It's just like, how do we get it done with the resources that we have? They're also extremely resourceful. If I showed you the pictures that we took, because I actually model for them, and if I showed you like how we got those pictures, you'll probably be like, there's no way. So you guys just stopped somewhere and was like, oh, that looks cool. Stood, you know what I mean? It was like, it was all sporadic, random, the things that we had to do. And then I started to think, I was like, man, a lot of people have everything that they need in order to succeed. It's just like how they actually think.
Yeah. It's because it's not what you got, it's what you make with what you got. Because there's so many people that they already, if you're, I honestly believe if you're born in America, you're choosing to be poor. If you're in a third world country, it's a lot tougher. They don't even have internet and stuff. But if you're born in America, on your phone, you can Google anything and learn how to make 100 grand a year. So people are actively choosing to not be successful, to not make something of themselves. Because I guarantee if Jeff Bezos was right back down to zero, within a year he'd be a millionaire again. So what's different with him versus any other average Joe is it's not really where you come from. You just make the most of what you got. But no, exactly like what you said is the mindset of people ahead of you, it's way different. Because the people we grew up around, they want you to do better, just not better than them. Because then that's when they start casting stones. That's when they start throwing those backhanded comments. Because we hear it all the time. Because whenever I bought my first truck, so I bought a brand new truck. It was 2019. Friends and family were like, "Oh, that's a nice truck," but I would have got the 2020 version. But the truck was way more. It was way more expensive than anything they ever bought. Or like any time I try to do something you could tell someone's a hater by like backhanded comments. Mm-hmm. Oh man, congratulations. But I would have done this. Oh, congratulations on the podcast. But it should have been done this way. You're running them too long. They're just finding a subtle way to hate.
Because I often think about that, like, man, how would I respond? But more so, it's just listen and just throw that shit out. Because it's until you actually are creating a podcast, or if you do have a new truck, or if you could tell me why I should do it this way based off of your personal evidence and experience, then I don't really care. It's like, you really can't tell me anything. So say one guy that I actually interview him, he interviewed me, and he gave me some constructive criticism, but I listened. Because I like his work. I see he's very active. He has a lot of traction on social media. So I was like, I'll listen to him. But anybody else, I'm like, ah.
Exactly, because the constructive criticism, I always flip it is, if I listen to you, will I end up like you? Mm-hmm. So there's tons of times there's guys in my comments like, hey, this kid's an idiot. Don't listen to him in business. Then I look at them. They're twice my age and they're still working in the field. And so I just throw it right back at them. Hey, I appreciate it. But if I listen to you, will I end up like you? Then I don't want to listen to you. Right. And I think that's how everyone should go, is model someone who's living the life you want to live or is doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's way better that way instead
oh,
of
yeah.
just
oh, yeah.
Definitely, the armchair man. Quarterbacks.
Right. Like, definitely, man. I'm the same way, because I'm like, you really have to be careful of who you listen to, even the self-help gurus. Like, I listened to this one seminar and the guy was like, a lot of people whose books you read, who you get motivated by, aren't really practicing what they preach. So you really have to be careful, because somebody will say, hey, I want to be your mentor, but they're not successful in the field that you want to be successful in. And so we're like, say for you, right? You're like, okay, I'll be a mentor, but it's about a specific niche that you're actually doing. So it's okay, yeah, I'll listen to this guy because he's actually doing it. And this is what he coaches people on. But some people, just the whole life coach thing and things like that. I'm like, what do you really have going on that you could actually help people on? You know what I mean? What is it? Do you have a family?
Yeah.
Do you have kids? Did you go through anything? Like, how was it for you growing up? What gives you the wherewithal to actually be able to say, hey, I could coach you on your life or anything else, especially like fitness? But fitness is topsy-turvy. I don't, that's a different subject. But yeah, man. So like when I saw you, I was like, okay, yeah, like I like this. Like, he's very specific in what he does. Like, this is what he does. This is what he coaches people on. He made millions of dollars. Okay, it makes sense. But it didn't seem far-fetched, because I know that people within your industry can and do make millions of dollars. Now, if you was just like, hey, I made millions of dollars coaching people online, I'd probably be like, come on, bro. You know what I mean? Let's mm-hmm. just make this make sense. Like, how many people are you dealing with that's going to pay you that much money anyway? And who has that much money to pay you just for this? So yeah, man, kudos to you for all of that, bro. Like, I really do. I really like that.
Yeah. And it's the best way to go about it is, like you were saying, it's just go with people who say, this is what I've done, instead of someone preaching from theory. It's, no, this is what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Step. Because then you can't fake that. Because if mm-hmm. someone asks, like, off the spot, how do you do X, Y, and Z? Oh, if you know how to do it, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to research it. You already know. If someone asks Michael Jordan, hey, what's wrong with my shot? He doesn't have to research it. Michael Jordan could just tell you, oh, tuck your elbow in more, release at the top, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But for the self-help, a big thing I look for in mentors is they have to be crushing it in all aspects. Because I admire a man who's fit, doesn't have vices, and makes a lot of money. So it's like physically, financially, mentally. And they have to be winning all across the board at a 10 out of 10. Because I don't want a mentor who's, yeah, he helps me make a lot of money, but if I end up like a man that has tits, I don't want to do that. What's the point of looking like that if you have, and having money, or what's the point of making money if I have all these vices? Because you hear it all the time, guys, billionaires. Yeah, they get depressed and then like they off themselves because mentally they weren't where they should be. So mm-hmm. that's what I always look for in mentors. If they're not winning all across the board, then I don't want to listen to them. Because exactly like the self-help, I think is ridiculous. You're trying to preach people be your best self. It was like, bro, that's your best self. Like, you want to look like that? That's the message of discipline you're trying to show. If you can't control what you put in your mouth, like how can you control anything? And so that's actually why I coach a lot of people, not really just on business. I try to help guys also with dropping the vices, dropping the weight, because that's what I did. And it all
works. Oh, you were big before?
I was bigger. Yeah, I was 205 at my heaviest. I'm 185 now, and I'm trying to lose another 10 pounds. It was from the alcohol, because I was drinking.
Really? How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Okay. Damn, you're trying to lose too much weight.
I know. So I was always 175. I was like, that was my high school weight. He's like, I'll get back to that. But it was
That's pretty skinny for a Tongan, man.
Oh, bro, yeah. No one thinks I'm Tongan. I'm tiny. All my little brothers and sisters, they're all like 6 foot, 5'11". Even my sister's a professional rugby player. She's way bigger than me. Oh, she could bench more, squat more. So I don't know what happened to me. That's why I had to push more. The business is I don't got the athletic genes. Like, all right, cool. I'll just stick to business.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I'm 205 now. And we're about the same height. But I was just like, wow, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I was big and I hated it. And I realized like all those different things were like, man, if I was able to build a business, but I was neglecting myself in these areas, if I cut those out, oh, it's game over. Imagine if I can do 2 mil without drinking alcohol, by going to the gym, et cetera. Because I think that's ultimate success is really what I want to build is people can hate on me, say whatever they want to say, but they can't say I'm broke, they can't say I'm fat, and they can't say I'm mentally weak. Everything else, I don't care what they say. But as long as I have all that across the board, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. That takes a lot of hard work too. But I do know the difference with me being a fit person, and I'm pretty big, and the difference in like how people deal with me and how people respond to me. Because it's like when you look like you're healthy and people know what it takes to even be healthy or be fit or have muscle, they have a different type of admiration and respect for you. Because they know, because they tried it and they gave up. But for me,
shows discipline.
Yeah, it shows hell of a, especially when I'm in my late 30s, so it's a little different. Like a lot of people don't look the way I look at this age. So it's just, wow, this guy's doing something. When you're in your 20s, you still got a little bit of time. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know. But when I was in my 20s, it was just like every guy has something. But when you're in your late 30s, that's when you really get to see who's who. But yeah, it's definitely some discipline. You got to go without. Some people ask me like, hey, you watch these shows? And I'm like, bro, I can't even get into shows because I really just don't have time. Like you could say you could choose to watch these shows or you could choose to watch something on TV and do workouts at home. There's always something that you could do to keep yourself up. And I actually talked to a guy yesterday in the gym and I was telling him like, man, maybe it's like money that stops people from training and this, this, and the third. And he was like, I'm not going to use that as an excuse. Like you still go out, you still eat food when you go out, you drink, you have a good time. Maybe if you cut that out, you could put that money towards training or hiring a personal trainer. People can figure out how to do things that they really want to do. And that hit me and I was just like, oh shit, he's absolutely right. You just probably have to cut something out somewhere to be able to afford to do this or do something that'll help you afford it. Do a couple Uber deliveries or something. I don't know. There's all kind of ways for you to make it happen. But he's also not from America. So his frame of mind is like, man, you can make it happen out here. Like, y'all, the excuses that y'all use is like crazy.
Yeah. And it's just a different level of standard. And we really are blessed out here. So my dad, he's not from America. He's from Tonga. And so he moved here. He had to learn the language. He moved sometime in like high school, middle school. And he still ended up being fairly successful. He became an attorney, owns a couple homes, things like that. And so if he was able to do that, coming from a third, I don't know if it would be deemed a third world country, but coming from a completely different country, then it would be disrespectful for me to not hit 7 figures then. Because if he was doing 6 figures, why can I not hit 7 figures then if I really didn't do anything with my time? I just wasted it.
That's pretty remarkable. And I think, bro, like learning,
you should always level it up.
Yeah, coming in high school not knowing the language to being an attorney is remarkable. But attorneys have to be like masters of language. So that's a pretty big, he really studied hard, bro. You come from a very smart man. Because a lot of people like writing those papers for the bar and things like that. And yeah, man, because I had my little stint in law school and you have to do a lot of writing. So did he
And
come?
that's, what was that?
No, go ahead.
And that's the standard I want to set, because since that's how my dad was, it was like, and he's still, so he's 67. He's still in great shape. He's still in great shape. He can crank out. He can bench like two plates in like 20s or something. So he's almost benching like three plates, and like he's, and mentally strong, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, financially stable. And so it's like, damn, that is the standard I have to uphold, because that I'm his son. I look up to him that way. I don't have sons yet, but when I do have sons, I do not want them to look up as someone else as a role model, physically, financially, or mentally. No, I brought you into the world. You're going to look up to me. And so I have to be 10 out of 10 in all aspects.
Yeah, I have the same example, bro. My dad is 65 and he's still in good shape, walking around, fixing things
That's
and things
dope.
like that. Yeah, so it's like when people talk to me, they'd be like, but I had a conversation with somebody the other day and it was just like, I can understand people who are like overweight and they really just don't know how to be healthy because that's not what they've seen growing up. But that is like all I've seen growing up. Like my mom was never fat. She never fell off. She works out to this day. My dad goes to the gym till this day at his age. So for me, it's like I would be damned if I fall off and my parents look better than me. And so I was just like, nah, man, like I can't do a lot. If I go to my dad's house now, he'll be like, all right, I'm going to the gym. And my mom, I'll call her and she's like, I just got off the treadmill. So it's like you have to just to honor your parents. I feel like the best thing you should do is what we are doing. It's like you have to keep the legacy going. You don't have to be supremely better than them, but you better not fall off a notch. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to be like, okay, my dad's buff now, I'm gonna be a bodybuilder, but you still have to keep that up somewhat, like all of that. So say if we go somewhere, I want people to be like, okay, I can understand how that's his son. Like I could see why that's his son. Okay, cool. Like my dad or me and my dad are walking somewhere together, people will probably be like, okay, I can understand. But then I do know people who do have parents that are fit and they're like totally out of shape. And to me, it's just like, how could like that just doesn't that's how does
You
that
lowered the
not
standard.
affect you?
You 100% lowered the standard. And when you lower the standard in one area, you're going to lower the standard in other areas. Because then
Yeah.
it's okay, I'll skip this workout. And then in the business, it's okay, I don't need to make this much. I'll just make a little less than my dad so we can still survive. And it's, you start compromising in different areas. And especially as, that's why I think, especially like with the self-help gurus, mentors, whatever, you can't let yourself fall in any areas. Because if you slip, they fall. People who you're teaching, they'll justify. So that's why I'm a firm, that's why I don't drink, is because if I used to be an alcoholic. But if I drink, if I have one drink, then my clients will like, okay, maybe I'll have five, three, whatever. People will justify because they see you slipping. And so as a leader, you have to hold yourself at that higher standard, because every time it drops down, like someone will try to compromise somewhere. But
Yeah.
it's good being around like parents like that, or just being, I think that's dope. Just seeing when you pull up, like your family pulls up. I
Yeah.
think that's dope. I don't want to just pull up by myself. It's, oh no, they roll up.
Oh yeah, man. But then I have four children and your kids get affected by that. Say my kids will love, they'll be like, oh, if I say, hey, let's go to the gym, they'll be so excited. Oh, we finally get to work out with daddy. I took my daughter to the gym with me and we were doing curls. And it was just like we were moving at the same pace, the same tempo. She was serious. She was willing to do all the workouts. But then I was like, you can't really be surprised because every time she calls you, she assumes you're either working or at the gym. Like she doesn't say, she doesn't hear people dancing and noise in the background. Hey, baby, daddy gonna call you back. I'm hanging out. She never heard anything like that. And she knows exactly how it sounds when I'm in the gym. She, daddy, you in the gym, huh? Okay, all right, cool. I'm gonna call you later. Oh, daddy, what you doing? You working? Yep. You know what I mean? So it's like, what are you known for? in your community and with your children. And that's a big sacrifice, because sometimes I'll be like, man, I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want to go out and do a little, but then it's just, nah, man, you got to just set a standard. Like, what's more important? Devices really don't even do anything for you when you really start to think about it from a bird's eye view. Is what did I go out there for? Who am I impressing? Why did I spend all this money? The people who I'm around while I'm doing this aren't really doing anything anyway. They could barely help themselves. So what was the point of me even coming out to this event or to this bar or whatever? What am I getting out of it that's going to help me besides me running away from my problems? Probably nothing at all.
Exactly. And everyone does it too. They're escaping something. And people try to justify, oh, it's so I can help relax. It's damn, you don't love your life enough that you have to run away from it. So you have to try and relax away from your life. It's like, there's something you're hiding, man. You're masking something. And no, I just tell it people straight up, honestly. I'm like, social media content. And that's what triggers them, which is good, because they need to be told that. Bro, you have kids. You guys are living paycheck to paycheck. Damn, you're setting a bad example. They should follow me then. And it hurts them, because then they finally realize, damn, I am setting a bad example for my kids. Or if they're fat or whatever it is, you're showing your kids being an alcoholic's okay. What the hell? And people need to be told that straight up. I don't want to sugarcoat it, because people have been sugarcoated their whole life. And I feel like that's why they go down a down the wrong path.
Yeah. I said this on another podcast. I was like, the worst person you could lie to is yourself. You have to be brutally honest with yourself. And I have a bad, brutally honest like entity that talks to me. I'm talking about it is harsh, but I respect it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I have that voice in my head that tells me like, nah, man, you got to go harder. Like, what are you doing? Like, your internal dialogue has to be like the way you talk to yourself, the way you deal with yourself. It has to be on point. Like, mine is super tough, militant grind. Like, it's a very militant person. But then I think about my ancestors and how militant they were. If I think about my grandparents, like, my grandparents were something. You know what I mean? I'm sitting over here thinking, damn, man, like, for Christmas, my grandmother bought every family. She had five kids. Yeah, so every family, she bought a PlayStation and she bought us clothes. Like, we had some crazy Christmases. She was also a hustler. She was selling really expensive, like, high-end porcelain dolls. So she was making money. Like, she had a $1 million business, but with that business, she was able to like give us the best Christmases. She had the biggest house on the block. All those people come over. She's providing all the food. And I'm just like, wow, man. Like, when you really think about that as an adult, that takes a lot. Like, I couldn't imagine buying like multiple families a video game console system and clothes, and like, that's pretty high. But then it's just, that's where I come from, and that's what I have to implement. That's what I want to do. You know what I mean? Like, when I have my grandkids, I want a big long table, like, where everybody could sit down, and I'm just looking at all of them, and we all eating together. You know what I mean? I'm talking like 20 chairs, like a table, 20 chairs. And I'm just looking at everybody that came from my nuts. Like,
it's like, this is what I built. And this is like, I created this. And that's the perfect reason to make money, is to give it back. Because people, the saying goes, money can't buy happiness. And the only people who say that haven't given enough away.
Yeah.
And if you always have that mindset, I was like, you can help a lot of people if you have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like, you could help your entire family. But being broke serves no one. That's completely selfish, because you did not want to work harder. You did not want to give your family a better life. You did not want to show your generations down. Exactly like you're talking about your grandparents now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how your grandkids are going to talk about you. Man, the Milton Grind podcast. Like, check this shit out. I was like, it's top five podcasts.
Yeah.
That's my grandpa. He built that.
And that's why I say, for some people, I'm black from the inner city. I'm from LA. So I'll be trying to tell people, like, look, man, my podcast is about mental health and wellness. It's not, okay, we're going to get in here, we're going to chop it up. It's, no, that's not the purpose of what I'm doing. I want it to be like, if my grandkids look up my name, they're going to see me talking about something with substance. It's okay, I'm gonna listen to my grandpa talk. Say, this is a crazy story. So the first time I ever heard my grandfather's voice, was from a recording of a radio show that he did. So he died before I was born, and I went to my uncle's house in Chicago, and he had all of these CDs or whatever, and like hundreds of them. And I was like, what's this? He was like, oh yeah, this is some type of player and my dad or whatever. This is his radio show. And he like turned it on, and I was just like, wow. Like, I get to really listen to my grandfather's voice right now, but he's talking about like social issues and things like that. You know what I mean? It was just like, it opened my eyes where now when I look back, I'm like, when my grandkids look me up, I want them to see the same thing. This is what he stood for. This is my legacy. So how we're perceived in the world is just more, way more important than ever, especially for me now. Like I'll do something like a joke or whatever. It's funny, but I'm very careful about how I present myself to other people and to my children and to the world. Like I stop myself from doing a lot of things. Nah, man, no, you have to be careful now. You have eyes looking at you. You have to watch how you walk. You have to watch how you talk. You can't talk like this in front of your kids. But if I'm like around my friends from back home, I'm a totally different person. But around my kids, bro, it's like night and day, night and day. I'm a totally different person than I am. And I notice that it's okay to do that because we're just trying to elevate. And sometimes you have to get over yourself and just be a better person in front of other people. And because we all have higher and lower selves, but you just want to tap into that higher self as much as you possibly can, especially when you're dealing with the world and you're dealing with other people.
Yeah. And it's just crazy how it all just goes in the same end, because they're watching you when you're not watching them.
Right.
And so it's like, you only have one name. So might as well make it a high quality name.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a good name is worth more than gold.
Yeah, because your personal brand, that's everything. Like, you just attach a name, like Musk. He attaches his name to anything.
Oh.
It'd be successful business.
Yeah.
And then it goes all across the board. Nike is a brand name. They attach that logo on any average shirt, black t-shirt, instantly doubles, triples the price. And so that's where I realized, like, how important your brand name is. And you don't want to associate it with something negative. Just as much as it can help you, it can also damage you.
What is your brand name? I don't think I ever got that.
So really, I just go by my name.
Okay.
So, but it's the business, the online coaching business is Mud Masterclass, and then the concrete business is MMT Concrete. But everything I try to push is more just my name, because I would rather people associate my name brand versus just the company. Because if I ever want to start another business, I don't want that, like the concrete business, I don't want that to have the huge following. Everyone know the concrete business. And then if I want to step out, now I'm back at square one. I'd rather just build my personal name brand so big. So then whatever I want to do, hey guys, I started selling these t-shirts. Boom, instantly sells out.
That makes sense. Because I think about, I had a conversation with somebody about that. I'm like, man, could Kanye West ever be broke in his life? No, he cannot. He could put his name on anything and it's always going to attract people. But how hard has he been working on his craft, on his God-given craft, to make him that successful? Like I seen, bro, I went to Kanye West concerts, and the way people just resonated with his music, it was like crazy. I'm like, this is an amazing human being, but he just developed his name as a personal brand, like Yeezy. But that's when I was just like, man, I really had to take this in and go be serious about this, because this is something that could actually, like, it could really grow. Like, basically it's something that I could really control. Say if the economy is messed up or whatever, it's like, that doesn't affect me because I'm the brand, I'm the product. So that, and me being at, bro, I was in real estate, finance, doing taxes, insurance, like all of that. And I just hated how, even though I'm an entrepreneur, my industry is still controlled by other people and other forces that have nothing to do with me. Like, if the price of concrete goes up, it's going to hurt your business. You're just going to be like, dang, hopefully that doesn't happen. But it's just an example of that. So that's why I'm like, man, I have to build something where I'm like in full control and nobody could stop me, not even the government. Like, they can't say, you need a license for this. Nope, I'm in control. I run this.
And I feel there's still always a great move you can make on the chessboard. So even if external factors come in. So like for the concrete, if the concrete price goes up,
mm-hmm.
there's still a move you can make. Because I always believe there's guys out there doing $100 million a year. So mm-hmm. there's always, every time external factors come in, I actually want external factors. So when recessions hit, I want recessions to hit. I want bad things to happen like that. Because it weeds out people who shouldn't have been in business to begin with. Because now you actually have to be in, you actually have to run a business. And I always want bad stuff to happen, because if you only know how to be successful when everything's going your way, every time shit gets tough, you're going to fold. So there's no point, like athletes,
mm-hmm.
what's the point of playing? Like if you're always winning, like, no, you want to be put in those situations where it's like fourth quarter, 2 minute drill, you're down by seven. It's like, this is where like you actually build your legacy, is like when you're behind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always loved, yeah, being in, wanting like external factors to come down, because I just know other people would fold and I won't. I'll just figure out how to get out. I don't know how exactly all the time, but I just know if you don't stop and you don't lose, you don't quit.
Yeah. And I embrace hard times too, because it actually brings a different person out of you. Like I figured that, like, man, when I get angry, it just brings like a different type of beast. You know what I mean? Like when I'm pissed off, I feel like I get smarter. I move faster. Like my mind thinks different. But then that's what we had to do to survive. Like we had hunger pains, or we were in the field, and it was like, I thrill off of that. And that's why I love going to the gym, because it lets me tap into that warrior energy. It's like I go in there, and push the heavy weight. You know what I mean? That's a part of me. But then it's like, I also notice that just because that's me doesn't mean that everybody else has to be like that. We come from a totally different people. So it's, I understand that. Say for Polynesians, the way they work out is different than some people like to jog. But I know that like your culture, they're like into heavy because that's what they're built for. Like you just say your sister's a rugby player. And trust me, I know her legs look crazy. You know what
bro,
I mean? I know they look like tree trunks, but then that's what she's built for. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just crazy, man. Like how everybody is just, they just fit these profiles. And I'm just like, wow, some people are just into certain things and that's okay. Some people like to run. I have a friend that is a runner and I'm like, bro, I hate running. I absolutely hate it. But then I end up doing the ancestry DNA and they're like, you have what they call the sprinter gene. Like you sprint, stop, and then you're okay. But then it's like the way I'm built, my height and all that, I'm not built for long distance running. But if you mm-hmm. say sprint, oh, I love sprinting, bro. Love it. Like this burst of energy. Okay, cool. I'm out. You know what I mean? But then that's why I have a little grace for people. I'm like, you know what, man? As long as you're moving, you're doing something that's within your wheelhouse, that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not built the same. Like I have two younger brothers and the youngest one doesn't look like he works out at all, but he does what he has to do and I do what I have to do. It is what it is. Everybody's different.
Yeah. And everyone should just rush into their zone of genius, no matter what it is. Cause everyone has a certain skill set that they were born and built into. So I wasn't born and built into running a restaurant. That's not me. Making content. And I like building a construction business. That's my mm-hmm. zone of deep genius. And so that's what I'll lean into. And as long as people just lean into their zone of genius, and if you're good at it, why not? And you can make money doing it, because doesn't matter what field you're in, there's someone making money in it. So like, you can make it happen.
And you don't have to be rich, man. If you could do what you love and it puts a smile on your face every day, then money really, that's like way more important. And you have your necessities. I feel like that's a way better life lived than anything. Like it's because I watched this show and this guy, he was in the corporate world and he quit so he could work at a pizza parlor making pizzas for people. But he said that he felt more fulfilled doing that than he did in the corporate world. There are people like, man, I just love making pizza and people enjoying it and people, they love to eat. So this is just my thing. And he's been doing it for years. Another lady has a food truck. And she's cooking, making people happy. People love her. Hey, baby, how's it going? And I was just like, wow, that's more of a fulfilled life than any rich person. Like, that's their thing. And then I started to think about it. I'm like, what if everybody, say one of your favorite restaurants, they just stop cooking because they say, oh, I'm making a lot of money online trading stocks. You'll be like, what the fuck? No, you need to make these ribs. Like, what? What? Mm-hmm. No, this is my favorite place, because I always think stuff like that, man. What do people that do things so well that you enjoy just stop because they are into money doing something else and they're not really passionate about it? They're just making money doing it. Like your favorite taco man or whatever. So that, I don't know. Sometimes that crosses my mind, man.
I feel like it goes, there's parts of it I disagree with. I feel like there's people on both ends of the spectrum, because there are people that are, like doing whatever. They have a taco stand, but they're not fulfilled. And then there's the opposite. There are people who are fulfilled. And then there's also rich people who aren't fulfilled, but there's also rich people who are fulfilled.
Yeah.
And so it's, as long as you're in front of your money, like it's, as long as you own the things, don't own you. Because that's where people mess up, is that's their identity now. They buy the Lamborghini and now that's my identity. I'm the Lamborghini owner guy. Mm. And I would rather build a life where they become wants, they're not needs. Right. I don't need money, but I want money because, hey, if my brother wants to start a business, yeah, cool. Here's 30 G's. Like, and it's just having that option too. That's more the freedom. Yeah. But no, as long as everyone's doing something that fulfills them, that's all everyone should be doing, in my opinion, is build a life that you enjoy doing, enjoy living.
Yeah, and that's the best thing about it, man. Where can people find you, bro?
They can find me at Daniel Lafiafia on Instagram, YouTube. Those are the two platforms I'm most active on.
All right, now can you spell that for people?
Yeah.
The way it rolls off your tongue is...
Yeah, no, for sure. It's T-A-N-I-E. L A F I E F I A.
Right. Okay, cool, man. Hey, bro, this has been a very insightful conversation.